latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the sun on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
It's happy, I'm again. I think I might be happy if I wasn't out with them. I'm not happy. It's a love and place to be. Happy that the fire's full of bomber and it's a deal. With a haircut, smile, and the meaning of style is a night I'm with the boss. But you win or you lose, and it's them who choose. And if you don't win, then you've lost. What a good place to be. Don't believe it. You speak a different language and it's never something we are again. Don't believe it. Oh no, cause it's never something we are again.
We're back at the races. And you want to talk happy hour? It's a happy hour because we get to say good morning and congratulations to one of our favorite people, Charlie Lopresti, who wins the Old Friends Thursday at Kentucky Downs. You're literally an old friend. Charlie Lopresti joins us. Congratulations, Charlie.
Oh, thank you very much, Steve. Nice to talk to you guys.
Well, I shouldn't have to need a stake win as the, you know, as the motivation to call, but it really is kind of the system, but you had a horse win, you had a nice maiden win, and I said I'm going to call Charlie, and for whatever reason I missed you earlier in the year, but I wasn't going to miss this opportunity.
Well, good. I'm glad you called.
Well, talk a little bit, and you got a bunch of good things going. I mean, I can tell that you had a little bit of a quiet period, but it seems like you've got a couple of new clients, a couple of young horses, and let's start with what happened on Thursday with Get Western.
Well, I tell you, he's been an all right kind of horse for us. He's had a really good year this year. He won, and then we put him in the wise stand, and maybe that was a little overzealous spot, but but I like the way he was training, and I would love to have won that race. And he ran okay that day. You know, we got trapped down on the inside, and Julian said he got a little intimidated, he said, and, you know, it probably cost us, I don't know that we were going to win, but it probably cost us hitting the board. And we gave him a little time and then ran him back at Ellis, and he ran a really good race at Ellis and won. And then we put him in the stake race because we ran him there last year sprinting, and he didn't run bad. He didn't get beat very far. I knew he kind of liked that course, and it worked out good for us.
Well, you just said something really key. And, you know, so far for people that are playing Kentucky Downs for the first time this year, which is seems like a lot of people, because every big card, they're setting wagering records. Any horse that does like both the undulation, you know, running uphill and downhill, and, you know, the whole layout of that course and the makeup of the turf, because it is different than the turf at Keeneland and Churchill, for instance, you know, where you got those sand-based courses.
Yeah, and you know, that course, we haven't had a lot of rain here in the last, oh, I don't know, 3 weeks probably.
Mm-hmm.
And just watching those races, I mean, they were kicking up a lot of dirt. I ran a really nice two-year-old filly that his sister's ready. I really, really liked that filly a lot. She's a declaration of war filly. And I thought, you know, her first start at Ellis was real encouraging. She only got beat three lengths, but she's been training like a monster. And we ran her up there at Kentucky Downs, and James Graham really liked her. And, boy, she got the most wicked trip, almost clipped heels, bounced off the rail. And so she never got to show her stuff. Then I ran a horse named Frank and Jimmy, who Amy and I own. You know, he was second beaten, just two more jumps he was going to win at Ellis, and I thought we'd try him one more time on the grass. He's from that Wise Dan and Successful Dan family. And, boy, I'll tell you what, he was locked and loaded going down the hill. But when he went around the turn, he went up the hill. When he asked him to run, he turned his head loose and his legs were just going everywhere. So, yeah, not a lot of horses like that course. Not a lot of horses handle it. But Get Western, he just skipped over it.
We saw it on the first card with Jeff Bloom's. With Jeff Bloom's nice horse that won the Tourist Mile. Snapper Sinclair had run there as a 2-year-old. And whenever they show an affinity, obviously with the kinds of money that's being offered, you circle the date and you pick out the spot, and there you go.
You always got to try. I mean, you know, you got to try, especially like that one Frank and Jimmy horse, we own him. I mean, that's huge. A horse wins a race like that, it's huge. I mean, it's like winning two races.
Exactly. It is like winning. So that's true. $130,000 maiden race. It is winning two. That's a good point. I love it. I love it. And, you know, that we'll have to go back to that Sister of War, because I see the dam. The dam rings a bell. Sister's Stroll, which...
Queen Elizabeth. She was third in the Queen Elizabeth, I believe.
Okay. That, because the name absolutely rings a bell. Look at you. Yeah. The third in the Queen Elizabeth. She won the pucker up.
There you go. Yeah.
Great.
Oh, she's been training lights out. I was so upset yesterday. I mean, I thought that she would. But who knows? I just didn't know about that course. That was the big question. That's what I told Brett Setzer, who owns her. I said, Brett, I just don't know. You know, we like her. She's trained like a monster. That first race, the filly that won that maiden race came back and won the $500,000 the other day at Kentucky Downs. So, I mean, you know, she was coming out of a good maiden race at Ellison. Believe me, she didn't have a clue what she was doing. She was inside, outside, and she galloped out past everybody when she hit the wire. And she'd been training like a monster. And then go in there yesterday, and that happens. I mean, she lost all chance.
So you're talking about the Cassie filly, right?
Yeah.
How about that? How about that from last weekend? Nice. Well, we'll keep an eye. And you know, part of that is if you're training a horse at the racetrack, and you know, they're learning, you know, they learn their way around an oval, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're turning and turning and turning, and they're like, where's the straightaway here? I mean, there's certain habits that they, you know, that they're being drilled on, and it makes, you know, especially young horses, they'll get confused.
Yeah, and I think that wasn't the case with her. I think she just was bottled up along the inside there, and she tried to run, and the hole closed up, and she about clipped heels, and then, I mean, that's what the chart said. I mean, and then she bounced off the rail at one point. Time we thought maybe she took a bad step or got hurt, and then when we got her back, we realized what everything happened. Talking to James and everything, she didn't have a cut on her. It was just bad racing luck. That's all. She never got a chance to show her stuff. And hopefully we'll get her on a conventional turf course next time, maybe at Churchill or at Keeneland on her home track. And I think you're going to see a different filly. I mean, I was kind of getting ahead of myself, but I was thinking she wins at Kentucky Downs. Maybe she can run in the stake at Keeneland, but now we got to regroup.
Well, and now I look at that Sister Stroll. Now I connect the dots. Proctor trained that mare, and
right.
That's how I know that. Well, talk about these both of these owners, five fillies who own Sister Stroll and Sister War, and Ward Pitfield, of course, who owns Get Western. It seems, Charlie, like, you know, you've kind of been reworking the roster, and you know, how many of these are some new clients, and, you know, talk about the post Wise Dan era for you.
Well, I tell you, Mr. Pitfield, who owns Get Western, has been a longtime client of ours. I've trained horses for him for years. I've never really had a really good horse. Back in the 90s, we did some pinhook, and we bought some Wheelands and resold yearlings. And so he's been with us for a while. But Mr. Pitfield's up in his 90s now. And,
wow,
you know, he just didn't want to wait to go to a yearling sale. Long story short, I found this horse. Somebody came to me about him and talked to me about him. He was being broke, and he was just an unraced two-year-old that was being broken. And then I realized that, hey, he's a full brother to that horse, Tom Bush. Is it Clyde's Images? I guess that's right.
Uh-huh, yep.
And so I called Tommy Bush about him, because I knew Tom from Saratoga, you know, when Tourlore ran against Get Stormy. And anyway, I said to him, hey, what about this horse you got? He said, I really like him. He's a nice horse. I said, well, this guy's got a full brother to him. He was a gelding, and, you know, so anyway, we vetted him and we bought him, and that's how I got that horse. Bought him privately. I didn't pay a lot of money for him. Actually, I think he went through the sale, and he only brought $1,000 as a yearling. I think that's right.
That's correct. That's correct. He was bought by Greg Green for $1,000. He was hip number 3368. That's got to be book five.
Yeah, and I tell you, I called the consigner about him. I said, hey, what's the deal with this horse? And how come he didn't sell for, you know, he brought $1,000? I said, Charlie, he was the first one that went through the ring that day. Nobody was there. He never got a bit.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
But, I mean, that's what, you know, that's just the crazy thing about this game. That's just crazy, you know. But anyway, so Mr. P, I call him Mr. P. No, he didn't. He's 92 years old at the time. He didn't want to go to sale and buy a yearling and wait 3 years to find out what he has. So I told him, I said, you know, I told him about this two-year-old. He said, well, go ahead and buy him. We never saw him. I mean, I sent some guys to look at him, and now, you know, there was maybe confirmation he wasn't 100%. But anyway, Amy and I got him off the van, said, heck, that's not a bad purchase. He's not a bad little horse. He really isn't. And his 2 year old, I think we ran him once. He was kind of erratic. He, you know, and then he won a couple races. But he's a pretty nice horse. He's got a license to be a good horse. I mean, that horse of Tom Bush's, he was second in the Maker's Mark Mile this spring, actually.
Absolutely, Clyde. You bet, Clyde. Absolutely. And it's funny because this horse is by Get Stormy, so there's all kinds of
won the stake
Tom Bush.
Saratoga this summer.
Exactly, yeah. Right. He's making his move. It's pretty funny. That was one of the first things I thought of when I saw that that you, you know, that Get Western had won this. Well, what do you, you know, what do you do now? He's running, you know, 90 buyers, and there's probably lots of attractive spots for him.
Well, there's one race, you know, one race I'm looking at, and I don't think I have to tell you, and that's what Brian Anderson said. Hey, let's swing for a long ball. You know how to win that race. I said, yeah, but I don't know if I got Wise Dan anymore.
So the Shadwell Turf Mile.
It's something circle to look at. You know, his numbers good. And I think if you look back, this horse ran a really good race to Raging Bull. I mean, he only got beat a couple lengths. I think when Raging Bull won at Keeneland, I want to say he was like fourth in that race, not beaten very far.
Well, why not?
You might have to look way back there, but he ran against that horse. I think it was off the layoff, actually, and I ran him in the spring, not this past spring, but the spring before, and he was in that same race.
How about that? So, well, let's see. It's got to be the right before he broke his maiden.
That would be right. That would be exactly right. Yep.
Well, there it goes. So here it is. It would be in April, Raging Bull, First Spring, Non Regret, and Get Western. Absolutely. April 19th, 2000, yeah. And he got beat six lengths.
Yeah. But, I mean, that horse is a monster, Raging Bull. And here's a horse
absolutely
coming in. You know, he's coming in off the layoff. I think I may have ran him one time at Turfway just to give him a race, but he wasn't. You know, I mean, that horse is a monster.
Well, Charlie, I don't see why not, and you can just tell that he's kind of, you know, one of these horses kind of going up the ladder, and this was a good spot to pick too, one of these restricted, you know, non-winner of a sweepstakes.
Yeah, they didn't have a three other than there at Kentucky Downs for him. I think the only thing they had was a two other than. So I said, what the heck? That's, you know, take a chance and see how good he is. I know that he liked the course because he ran okay on it last year. He ran sprinting. But he handled it good. He didn't win, but he handled the course good. And I think any time a horse shows that he can handle that course, and you know he can, it's worth a try. Sometimes you got to do it the first time to see if they do. But I knew he could handle it. So, and Brian rides some good. Julian won on him. You know, he's a pretty honest horse. When things go his way, he's pretty honest.
Well, Get Western, and we'll keep watching. And feels like in your hands, this is a horse that is going to be competitive. And I'm excited. I'm excited for you. And feels like I think it'd be nice to maybe get a couple of owners that are in their 60s.
It's gotten tough. I tell you, it's gotten tough. We don't have the owners that we used to have. You know, it's a tough game anymore. You know, it's really tough out there. I don't have people going to sale and wanting to buy horses, and you know, it's the way it is. You know, it's just not enough horses to go around for everybody. Little guys get squashed, and the big guys get more.
Well, I would think that when you've helmed the two-time horse of the year, that gets a little, should get a little extra attention from people.
I would think so. I would think so. But you know, it's a changing game and it's a changing world, and we just do what we do, and hopefully, you never know, another one of those good ones will just show up in our barn.
Well, you make them good. Let's talk about some of the ones that, you know, I mentioned. I saw that you were starting to get some maidens going, and you know, you're not necessarily somebody that has got one cranked up first time. Let's hit a couple of highlights. And before we go to Kentucky Downs on Thursday, tell us about Coincidence that goes at Indiana on Wednesday.
Well, you know, Reeve and his mom and Amy, I own that mare, the Dam of Coincidence. She's by Dadalink. She's been, you know, well, we ran her once last year, and she didn't really, well, she showed some speed early, and then she just, you know, tailed off at the end of the race, and she got beat like 40 lengths or something. And then we just noticed that she wasn't 100%. She had some inflammation in her knee, and she's really offset in one knee. So we gave her the winter off, and we were slow coming around with her because that knee didn't heal like we wanted it to. And then finally, Dr. Grant Bramlett gave us the green light with her. And she ran at Ellis for her first start this year. Probably wasn't as tight as I wanted to have one. They closed the track down for 3 weeks at Keeneland to do their maintenance on and check the base. So we lost some time there. We probably needed two more breezes, but I just went ahead and ran her just to get a race in her. And she jumped out there, and she got beat 12 lengths, but, I mean, she got beat 40 lengths first time he ran her. So I think Indiana's a little bit better spot for her. And she's from that Tourlore family. If you look back in that pedigree, that's, you know, all
nice.
The Tourlore pedigree. So, you know, she's grass on grass. And we're kind of hoping, you know, we own her, Reeve, Mary Jane, his mom, and Amy and I. We're just kind of hoping that that she'll be a all right kind of filly for us. At least we could maybe keep her down the road and as a brood mare and keep some of that pedigree alive.
Well, I like it. And out of a hap mare, happenstance.
Yep, and she, that's a half sister. She'd be a half sister to Tour Allure.
Tour Allure out of Personal Allure.
Yep.
How about that? And by Datalink, we've got a 2-year-old Datalink, and you'll love this. I had to get permission, but we named him Claude Ray.
Fine, <That's> good.
Yeah, and it was funny. The Jockey Club turned us down. They said, you know, it's a personal name. I said, well, wait a minute. What
are you? Yeah,
okay, yeah. So I asked Suge about it on the air, and he says, fine with me. He says, hell, you can go ask my son. He's Claude Ray, too. He can get permission from him.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Chip. That's right.
I love it. So he's a big the one we've got is you know, 2-year-old, and he's enormous. He keeps growing.
That's the way this filly is, Steve. She's huge. She's got a big head on her, and I think she's imposing. Last year, before we ran her, I mean, she'd come off the racetrack. She was like a colt. She was on her hind legs, and I mean, not in a bad way, just a big, strong feeling filly, you know, and. I think she's a little. She doesn't have great speed, but she breaks out of there and wants to really run. And I'm kind of hoping this thing at Indiana will work out for her. Egan Rouse is going to ride her, and he worked her the other day, and she worked really good with another older horse. She was down on the inside and was pressed the whole way, and I think they worked like 101 and change, and she was right there the whole way. So that was encouraging too.
I love it. Well, we're going to watch for coincidence. It's a cute name, too. Good name. Let's talk about Thursday, last of the cards at Kentucky Downs. And you're going to participate in the Ramsey Farm. Coco Chanel.
Yeah, she's been a good filly, that filly, you know, but God darn it, I mean, she runs some good ones, and then she runs some bad ones. She was third in a grade three. She just missed this spring at Keeneland in a two other than. She's doing really well. Those people that came in, Mr. Kelly's been really good to me. They sent us, several years ago, they sent us three horses, Red Dane, Coco Chanel, and a horse named the American Sea, and I've got a couple others for them now. So I'm kind of hoping this probably be their last year these fillies are getting some age on them. But I'd like to win a stake with her for sure, and I'm hoping we can get this done this weekend for them.
Well, that's Thursday in the Ramsey Farm. Obviously, a big, bulky field, and looks competitive. I have not, you know, done any work yet. I just printed the PPs actually this morning, and they do actually. Byron King got the morning line out, so we can at least tell you. Well, you're 20-1.
She's 20-1, but she ran a really good race going along there. Not last year, but the year before, she only got beat a couple lengths. Julie Burke rode her. I can't remember, but I don't think she got beat very far. She's kind of a stay in filly. She's by Ingles Channel. They seem to like that course. She's doing really good. It just depends on when she shows up. And when she shows up, she really runs well. You know, Brian Hernandez rode her this spring first time out off the layoff, and she was second at Keeneland in a tough two other than, and then went to Churchill, and then she just didn't run as good. Then we ran her at Indiana in a little stake, and that didn't go good for her. But she's one of those kind, about time you give up on her, she'll jump up and run a good one. And she's doing real good right now. I think, you know, she deserves a chance. And I think those Calumet people, they'd like to get some more black type on these fillies. And that's what it's all about. So, you know, I'm going to try. And if she doesn't do good, we'll go back to the two other than at Keeneland.
Well, speaking of trying to, you know, trying to get something going, you've got Folk Legend, and here is this is a horse that's cut out. I mean, she's cut out to be a nice horse. She's out of folklore. Yeah. Go ahead.
What a disaster. That mare has had absolutely nothing. And that is even before I trained any of them. You know, I go back with the Lewis's a long way, and they've sold quite a few yearlings out of that mare over the years, and nothing has gone right. This filly's got a world of talent. I actually had her in. I wanted to run her long. There was a mile and 5/16. She was on the also eligible, and she didn't draw in. I really wanted to run her that far. She just like a monster trainer, and she just goes and goes and goes, and didn't get in that race, so we're going to try this one. But you talk about what I call a morning glory. I mean, if you look at a work tab, like, how could this filly not run if you look at her? But she just, for whatever reason, she just won't show up, and I'm just praying that we can get her maiden broke. And then, you know, she's just a three-year-old. Maybe if we can do that, maybe give her time off for the winter. Jeff's really good about that. And then bring her back as a four-year-old. But she's going to have to show up here the next couple of races. She's got a wonderful pedigree. But daggone, that mare, she's been just a flop as a broodmare so far. It's a shame.
It's amazing, actually. Folklore, who was just an absolute tigress on the racetrack. I saw her a lot. And you know what's interesting? After her, there were a couple. Divided Attention was okay. Gino. Or Contrive, actually, was the dam. And Folklore was her first foal by Tis Now. Yep. And then, you know, it's amazing, too, the other two full siblings. There were two more siblings later, Calculated and Orchestrate, and they both were hopeless.
Yeah.
Hopeless. It's a very strange family.
It would drive you nuts. I mean, now you take and you turn her loose in the morning to work. And she'll black letter work. But, I mean, I've seen horses like that over the years so many times that do that. And they just, for whatever reason, they won't show up in the afternoon. You know, when she's kind of her own worst enemy, she gets wound up in the post parade. And, you know, she's a little bit, sometimes she never breaks. I mean, she just walks out of there. I mean, and then you take her back and stand there, you break her, she's fine. But I don't know, something happens to her race day and she's good in the paddock, you know, we school her and everything, but I'm hoping, you know, maybe she may be one that really takes to that course. I wish it was a mile 5/16 where she can just get out there and make an easy lead and just gallop along the whole way, but that didn't work. And like I told Jeff, I said, we're going to have to just keep trying any way we can get her in at Kentucky Downs. I'd rather, you know, run her longer, but let's just try this and, you know, hopefully we can move forward from here.
Folk Legend is her name. She's a Tapizar out of Folklore, the wonderful Bob and Beverly Lewis stake winner, and multiple, almost $1 million in earnings. You mentioned going back a long way with the Lewis family. You and Amy used to prepare their horses?
Oh, yeah. I had Charismatic here until the spring of his two-year-old year.
How is it? We've never talked about that.
We probably did, and we don't remember.
Maybe. That could be, too. It did.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
I mean, I've had a horse in my barn, or, you know, prepared horses for the Lewises since they got in the game from the beginning. You know, the very first, I think we talked about this, the very first horse that I ever won with this was the horse that Bob Lewis gave me.
Right.
Back in the 80s. Competitive Edge is his name. That's the old Competitive Edge.
The first Competitive Edge.
Yeah.
I love it. What about the first time starter, Wolf County Miss for Stonely?
Yeah, Stonely. They're the people that bred Exaggerator. This filly, I don't know. I think she's probably going to need one, but she's been training forward. And I've worked her a couple times with some horses that have run, and she's tenacious. She'll try. So she's another one, Steve. If she takes to that track down there, you know, she could light up the tote board.
Well, she's 20-1, and Edgar Morales aboard there, and you do have my guy Miguel Mena, on Folk Legend. So 30-1 and 20-1, a couple of big prices on Thursday at Kentucky Downs for Charlie, and that's it among the upcomers. Anything? How about some of the ones? Let's touch on some of the ones that you won with earlier this summer at Ellis. You sent out a few winners.
Well, Urban Insight, she was second. She won that. She actually won at Keeneland. She's run some big numbers. She's kind of one of those fillies that she's in every other race kind of one. You know, she throws a good one in, then she throws a bad one in. But I kind of like her. She's a street sense filly. I'm trying to think. We ran a really nice two-year-old the other day. You know, we got that filly Lessons from Avery that's 1-2 at Keeneland now. And we ran a full half-brother to her the other day. His name is Final Breeze. And if you look back at his race, he only got beat a half a lane first time out going a mile on the turf.
That's for the Rousers, homebred
yep.
of theirs.
Yep. Yeah, well, you know, he's a half brother to that Lessons from Avery. They're really, really nice people. They just had the one mare, and actually Rusty Arnold recommended us. I mean, he's my neighbor next door, and Rusty, you know, they wanted to send Rusty a horse, and he didn't have any room, but he recommended us. So we've done good with that, looking at Lucky Philly, Lessons from Avery. And then they sent me this full half-brother to re-roke him. And, you know, we were a little bit behind eight on him. And he was a big price, too. I think he's 50-1.
53-1.
He doesn't jump up and run third, get beat a half a length for all of it, first time out.
53-1.
Thank you. People, tell you what, they forgot about us. They don't give me any respect anymore. I used to say, why is Danny being 2-1 in a grade one? And now they forget about you real quick in this game, Steve.
We haven't forgotten, and there's good days coming, and as early as Wednesday. At Indiana, and then Thursday as the five-day season. And then the scene shifts to Churchill and Keeneland. And Charlie, best to Amy, and delighted for you. Always a pleasure to get you on the air.
Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate talking to you.
It's so great. Charlie Lopresti, and don't be afraid when you see Charlie at Keeneland this week. Talk to him and send him a couple of horses.
Yeah, please. I need some help.
Unbelievable. Charlie Lopresti, everybody. They does such a great job. Such a great job. It's crazy that, and again, one of these people that isn't going to go out there and, you know, and advertise himself and draw attention to himself. Old school, and the horse in good hands, Charlie Lopresti and Amy, because Amy very quietly, and you know, she's probably, you know, she's as much a part of it as Charlie. And of course, you know, they talked about the Lewises, the Kleins, all the Klein horses. They prepare all the Klein babies for years from Bert and Elaine, I mean, right from the get-go. That's how I came to know Charlie, was through the Kleins. When, which one was it? Was it Break Even? Who was it that broke his maiden really impressively at Churchill, like on opening night? And I wrote a story for Blood Horse. And I said, you know, what's the backstory? He said, well, Amy and Charlie got him going, and they said he was talented. I said, Charlie and Amy Lopresti. I said, oh, okay. Next thing I know, I got to know Charlie. Let's take a break, probably the last of the morning, because we're running out of racetrack here, because we're very chatty. Back after this with Catman.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a grade one race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Back at the races, 25 minutes to noon, and the start of the Keeneland Sale. 2 weeks worth of Keeneland Sale, and it's old home week around here. Charlie Lopresti, we just had a really fun visit with, and here's Wayne Catalano, the Catman. And we went the whole summer without talking to Wayne, and we went the whole summer without seeing you the whole summer.
Steve, how are you? Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't make it to Saratoga.
Well, that's no good. I don't want any more summers at Saratoga without you.
We'll be back full force next year. We'll be three or four to bring.
Now you're talking. So we'll get to the 2 year olds in a minute. But first of all, let's talk about what went on at Indiana the other day, because I was watching those races with real interest, and I believe me, I would have loved to have called Jim Baker and congratulate him too, but. Didn't work out for you, though. Winter Sunset, she just drilled them in the Indiana Grand.
Yeah, she ran a very good race. She ran like we thought she had the potential to do. You know, she's run some nice races for her, but we was always looking for this breakout race in the team the other day when she ran. So we was very happy with her. She come back good, so we got a lot of good things off of it.
Well, and talk about the season with her and you know what went on, and you know, she missed a little bit of time. What was happening? It looked like she was on her way to big things.
She didn't miss no time. She just got tired of running into concrete roads, whatever that name is. It's too much for her.
I guess so. You're right.
Running against that too many times, you're pretty tough filly. That was like the best filly in the country.
Yeah,
so
no doubt.
A couple of times, and she runs some good races or whatever. So, you know, we have to let everything where we at and look forward to some bigger and better things.
Well, and that's right. She'd come out of the pucker up, and before that, the regret. She just missed in the regret, actually. If you go back to June.
Yeah, no, she had a big race there too. But she runs the big races for us. No question about it.
Well, and of course, this family, you know, the winter memories, and so familiar with this female family when it comes to Darby Dan, to the Phillips family, and, you know, Jimmy Toner and everything. And so, you know, for you, and we talked about her, I guess it was last fall when, yeah, I guess it was before she even started. I think you were excited about her prospects.
Yeah, well, she gets a big pedigree and everything. And, you know, when you come with a big pedigree, you have big horses, and you plan on big things for them, but they still got to pan out, you know. Mom and Dad can't run for them.
Good point.
So, yeah, they got to pan out, you know. You want the breeding and install, but that's what you do. By pedigree and confirmation, obviously, but you start out with the pedigree and all that, and, you know, there you got to do it, you know. You know, she's been a very good filly for us. You know, she's been with the breakout race, like I said before. We on our own.
Well, and you know, these two stakes, $200,000, the Indiana Grand and the Caesars, and the opportunity, you know, to run for that money. And I mean, this was a very respectable group of fillies she ran into.
Yeah, that's what they said. It looked like it was a nice field. You know, why she was 6-1 in the program, I don't know, but. Smart.
Well, she ends up coming out of it, and she was ridden with great confidence by Channing, and when she swept to the lead, it was strictly a matter of how far she was going to win by, and he just basically cruised to the wire. She ends up with her career best figure coming out of this, too.
Yeah, what was it? I don't even know. I didn't look at it.
85 buyer.
85, yeah, that's pretty nice. That's not bad.
Not at all.
It's a good start, right? The ticket is.
Well, and I suppose you'd love to angle her toward the Queen Elizabeth. Is she a QE2 filly?
You know what? The way she ran out of this, she could be. We always thought she was going to be one, you know, but you got to go out there before them, like I said before. They got to go out there and do it. That's the thing, you know. You got to keep on. When you win or you're in here, you got to keep doing it. They don't wait for you. You got to keep running the good races. Keep moving up. So every time you get better, win a race, you got to get better for the next one. You know, get your bigger and better races. They always have a good one in there.
Well, and you know, sometimes we've talked about this before too. Sometimes with fillies, as you get to this time of year, you'll get to the fall, and suddenly, you know, they perk up too. Roger Atfield has said that, you know, that he's had plenty of fillies that during the summer and the warm weather, they just don't have that same edge. And then you get into September, October, and all of a sudden they perk up.
Yes, they do. They like the cooler weather. Then they're going to be 4, you know, they get to the end of day 3 and they'll be more mature and, you know, stronger and bigger. You know, they get ready to turn 4.
Well,
or 3, whatever age they are. They're going to be 3, if they're 3, they're going to be 4. This, you know, so they get bigger and better and stronger.
Well,
that's what you hope for anyway. And they get more knowledge, more experience.
And I know undoubtedly you want to get you absolutely with this ownership, with the Phillips team involved, as well as Coffee Pot. This is ultimately, you know, she's going to be an important broodmare down the road. And the more black type you can pile on her and particularly some graded black type, that becomes the next target.
Yeah, definitely. We need a great win. So some kind of graded race, if we can get that out of there. And we build up a bankroll and, you know, knock one of the big ones off. That's what she needs as far as pedigree goes.
Well, Wayne, talk a little bit beyond her. Talk about what else is going on. You've got you got one in coming up at, or actually, did you run? Yeah, did you run it? Yeah, you ran at Kentucky Downs the other day, right?
I saw. Yeah, I didn't run too well. I thought she could run well, but she didn't. Sometimes, you know, as we all know, they like that course or they don't like it.
Yep.
But I was a little disappointed on her. I thought she could win the race or run well, but Channing said she wasn't really liking it. You know, she got a little stutter going up the hill and down and around, and he thought he'd let her gather herself up and make that run, but she quite didn't do it. But that's the story on the racetrack, anyway.
Now, how about the other? How about the boys' race at Indiana? I forgot about that. Clinton Maroon, you had a chance to sweep the two.
Yeah, Clinton Maroon could have got the win for us. We need a little bit better setup, and you know when Channing goes, you know, pulled the trigger to go around that horse, he just drifted out, and then that sandwich out of there. Could have set up a little differently. Him around, they drift off like that. It would have been an easy winner. Oh, if he wouldn't have the check, you know, if he had cleared out, don't keep drifting. He could have maybe got the money there. He ran a big race. Was very proud of, you know, after the first race. So, you know, we took a shot the first time, and, you know, I threw the race out, and I thought he was going to run real big, and he did. So I was happy about that. You know, tomorrow, then, racing sale, you know. We thought we got a nice horse. He was a very nice horse.
Well, I talked about the race extensively because I felt terrible for Jimmy Baker, who got taken down.
Yeah, me too.
That was tough.
Me too, actually.
Yeah, the horse that
but,
and Candy
you know, Jimmy said it's horse racing when he passed me up, but that's horse racing. You know, same for us. I mean, I said that my fault too, not getting through there and not having a clean trip and trying to win it. We've all been through it long enough to go through it all.
Well, and what you know, Declan Cannon was going left-handed. I mean, as a rider yourself, Wayne, what's better? Aren't you better off? Doesn't a rider sense that you're going left-handed and you've got to feel that the horse is going sideways with your left hand?
Actually, when you're down and riding for the money that close up in there, you tend to don't feel it as much as you would think because you're riding and you're concentrating on trying to win and you just ride your horse. You know what I mean? That can be a good little jockey, but, you know, he's still new to it, you know. It takes a while to be a jockey to get him kind of feeling that, you know. You have to do this for a long time. You know, really long time to be a, you know, race riding and jockeying is way different. There's a lot of jockeys in the room. They got a helmet, boots, and a stick. Race riding is a different story. You know what I mean? I always tell them, young kids, they come to me, you want to be a jockey, you want to be a race runner. That's what you got to do. He's a good little jockey, and he's doing well. Like I said, they don't know, and they're riding that hard. You're going down, you're hitting down, you're just trying to win. And you're drifting a little bit too much. And, you know, it's not easy. I've been there and done that. It's not easy to know.
What was the biggest race you ever got DQ'd in?
I don't remember. That was too long ago. I know it's a trainer, but jockey, I don't know.
Talk about a couple of things. You got a couple coming up at Arlington this week. Actually, before we do that, you got your hands on Clinton Maroon. How did that come about?
We bought him out of Racing H sale.
Okay, nice.
Ben Walton, you know, he picked up on the horse and he called me and told me, you know, I think this could be a nice potential horse. So we went and looked at the horse, and we gave him more than we really wanted to, but we wanted a race horse, and we got one.
Nice.
You know, when you can buy a horse out of sale, run him in a green form, and then come back around to that 200, it did pretty good.
Very nice. I love it. How about the two-year-old? The two-year-old on Thursday, Lady C, a San Pablo filly.
Yeah, well, you know what? She's not two, but she's okay.
Three-year-old.
We think she's okay. She might be better on the dirt. Yeah.
Instead of the synthetic.
Yeah, we got some horses coming up with Churchill meets, so we'll be on a little better action. You know, we're happy to be back with the Westers. We got a handful of horses from Gary and Mary West, and you know, so we'll have some action. We'll be back.
Excellent. Wayne, before I ask about some other young horses, what's your take on the situation? It's been another week regarding Arlington, and you know we talked to Mike Campbell after Churchill announced that they weren't going to pursue the gaming option. What have the horsemen had to say?
You know what? I've been in Chicago. I've been in Kentucky. I haven't been in Chicago, so I don't really know that. They're supposed to have a meeting here in a few days. So they got a town hall meeting here, and they had one at Churchill, and I don't really know what's going on with that. But you talk to Campbell, what did he say? I really don't know.
He was so angry.
It was really heartbreaking, but...
Yeah, he was so angry he couldn't see straight, is what he said. I mean, they were so disappointed and frustrated, and you can understand. I mean, it's...
Well, yeah, they put a lot of time and money in doing this stuff. You know, we've been chasing this for 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, well, they keep moving. They keep moving the target in Illinois.
Yeah.
They, you know.
I don't know. You know, Arlington's in such a great place, and it's home for everybody. And I'm just hoping they get everything lined out. You know, it'd be really great to race here in Chicago, and you know, a race with the operation, and hope they get everything lined out like we need it. Also, everybody gets a fair shake. That's all I'm hoping.
Exactly.
I don't want the whole pie. I just want a piece of it.
I don't think anybody could conceive of you know, we appreciate what the Carries are doing at Hawthorne, but nobody could conceive of racing in Chicago without Arlington. It seems impossible.
Yeah, well, I think they know that. I don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, it's a great facility. Hopefully they'll get it lined out. It'll be back in action. I mean, you got the third largest city in the country, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh. Speaking of Arlington, you had a Louisiana bred that won for West Point like 3 weeks ago, Room to Finish, who seems
right.
Like he's okay.
Yeah, she's won, three or four races in 5 seconds, and she did all right. You know, we put a little team together. I got that horse, Steve Levin come up with the horse, and we put a little team together. We got, Kevin Tudor and Jerry Karum and West Point put together. We got the filly, and she's won some races for us.
88,000 she's won this year. She's run eight times. I mean, it looks like she's thriving on the work.
Yeah, what is she, 3 wins in 5 seconds or something like that?
Two wins, 5 seconds. She's only been off the board one time.
Yeah, but she had one in New Orleans before the year. For my people.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She
broke her maiden.
The win there. Yeah,
she broke
right.
her maiden in December.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's in the new year. So for the connections, I think it's 3 wins, 5 seconds.
How about
we
that?
We had the mile and a half. Well, I don't know what happened. We had her up long close. And she come off that mile and a half race. Just got beat. I thought we'd try this. It didn't work. But got to try it, right?
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you. You mentioned you're excited about the fall, and you know the Churchill will start this weekend. Tell us about a 2-year-old or two that we can look forward to.
You know, we got a couple of them. We got a couple of newer ones that we just got going about Mitch tracking. So I'm not sure on them just yet. But we're just happy to get the meet on. We're happy to be back with the Wesses, and we got some horses that we've been ready. Get ready for the meet. So we're looking forward to a nice fall meet. New year.
All right. So you're not.
Going to the fag grounds in Oakland, and go from there.
Excellent. Well, Wayne, absolutely delighted for you and for the Phillipses and the Coffee Pot team. Winter Sunset getting set
they're
for
wonderful
the fall.
People. Yeah, I'm happy to be involved with the Phillips and the group. And, of course, Coffee Pot, Mr. Bob and Mr. Nett, purchasing the horse and, requesting that I train the filly. And, it's been a great time. It's a great people to work for. So we're happy to be connected with them all.
And we're happy to celebrate it with you. Wayne Catalano, everybody, the Cat Man, one of our favorites. Good job, Wayno.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it, my brother.
We'll talk
Take
soon.
Care.
You bet. Right. Wayne Catalano and Winter Sunset, the great, great, great Winter Memories family. That family and that the Phillipses produced, just amazing. Just a fountainhead. Just keeps producing. Well, and gets us about 10 minutes away from wrapping up on this Monday, and we wanted, maybe we will get Rusty. Deja's going to give a give Rusty a try here, and we'll maybe close out with Rusty Arnold, who's already been invoked this morning, right? Charlie Lopresti talking about how Rusty got him tied on with that client. And and by the way, speaking of the Lopresti conversation, we had we heard from Richard Klein, and Richard says that he actually, and here's Jimmy Baker figuring in again, because the Kleins met Amy Lopresti when she was working for Jimmy. Holy cow. 30 years. Unbelievable. Rusty Arnold is with us. Rusty, this is like 6 degrees of separation in here. It's unbelievable. I had Charlie Lopresti earlier, and he talked about you. You got him a nice client, and we were talking about, I forget, it's a horse that I think he's starting this week at Kentucky Downs. Meanwhile, you were on fire Saturday. You send out Morticia, and she just ran them off their feet. And how about Totally Boss, who looked like a beach ball in that field? Congratulations.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, it was a very good day. You appreciate days like that a lot more now that you're older, because you know they don't come around that often. But a really, really good day. Totally Boss is just a really improving horse. He had trained spectacular in each race this year. It just gotten better. And we thought he'd run well, but you got a class check in that one, so you weren't for sure, but he passed it. So we're real happy with him.
Well, he was outposted, and you know, on that course, is that a big deal, being out in the 10 hole?
No, you're okay there. That course is so wide, and they have such a good run down that hill. I don't think post will hurt you there, any of them, actually. I've been pushing for him to run 14 in every race instead of 12, but maybe they'll do that someday.
Well, easy, because it's tough enough to spot the horses as far away as the cameras are. it's so tough to, you know, it's tough to make them out until they get, you know, fairly close to the line. It's such a different setting. You know, you also had Leinster in there as well, and it was interesting because the public bet Totally Boss. He was. That's why I said he looked like a beach ball, but you couldn't be unhappy. Leinster followed up his big win at Saratoga with a nice effort.
He did. He didn't get quite as good a trip as Totally Boss, but the track was just different on this weekend. Usually, if you're up close, their horses are going to come running from the back end,
right?
And just it was hard to close. It paid off in my favor twice, because I was lucky enough to be up near the pace, but usually those horses will close, and Leinster closed, I think, better than any horse in that race, if I'm correct, and he was digging into the wire. He didn't get beat far, and I was very happy with his effort, and he had to carry a lot of weight. He carried top weight, I think, horse and Peter Miller's horse, so very good effort. He continued on up, and we weren't disappointed at all. We're going to move forward with both of them, hopefully.
Well, and of course, Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, and the decision by the Breeders' Cup in coordination with Santa Anita to run the short distance. How does that affect you with both these horses?
Well, I think it would probably hurt Totally Boss a little more than Leinster, but not sure. He showed a little bit of a different element the other day. He could lay a little closer, so I wish it was a touch farther, but it's not, and we're going to probably point them both forward. Leinster, we're not positive we'll have the credentials yet, but they look pretty good to us, and we're going to give it a shot.
Well, let's get to Morticia, too. We're going to get a little tight for time. This was a serious field, and Morticia has had a little bit of a difficult summer. What were your thoughts going in, and then as the race unfolded?
My thoughts were she'd had a bit of a difficult summer so far. I have to tell you, things had not really gone the way we wanted. We were unfortunate in just a unlucky trip. And then the next time, it was a little bit more her fault. She got herself all worked up in the paddock. She was worked up when she left, not in the gate, left the gate. They went. She left there too rank, and that's generally not her. She was that way a couple of years ago. We got her out of it, and we brought her straight on to Keeneland, where she loves it the next day. She's more relaxed here. Not, nothing wrong with Saratoga. I love it, but, you know, a lot of action on the racetrack. In the morning, it's pretty crowded, and she just doesn't settle. And at Keeneland right now, there's no horses here, other than just 4,000 for the sale. But on the racetrack, there's nothing in the morning, just the Rice Road horses. She's out there on the track by herself some of the time, and she got had a really, really good 2 weeks. She was here right after she ran. She got back with her own rider, and she had a great 2 weeks and just all the things that had gone bad at Saratoga, they all went well there. She broke clean. She made the lead. She was relaxed on the lead. And it was a speed favorite day, so great day for her.
Well, it rights the ship, and it's great that this thing is graded. It adds to her resume and enhances her for, you know, for her upcoming career as a broodmare. Is she going to run next year?
I don't think so. We're going to run her at Keeneland, though. She's going to okay. run in the sprint at Keeneland. It's October 11th. She's missing about $8,000 to become a millionaire. That's kind of a big deal with us. We'd like for her to do that. And after that might be it. I think it's not decided 100%, but we'll sit down and talk about it. But I would guess that she's the end of her five-year-old year. Mr. Humphrey will want her on the farm.
How about East Moon? What's next for her off the Saratoga win?
It'll be Keeneland. I'm not going to make the Churchill meet. We shipped her home. She ran hard that day, so it'll be a allowance race at Keeneland.
Outstanding. And, boy, I mean, there were so many good things that were going on when we talked last about 3 weeks ago. And how about that Ellis maiden winner, Troubling Moon?
Troubling Moon's going to run next week at Churchill Downs at an AO then, and we like that horse. He's still got to improve. He was green when he ran and got and won anyway, and we think he's got a future. So hopefully he'll continue on.
Nice. And who am I think? Let's see. Who else can we ask you about that's missing? Oh, the coming up, Convict Pike on Thursday.
Convict Pike's in. We put him in at a mile. Didn't go. Oh, no, he got excluded. I'm sorry. Didn't get his distance. It's a little shorter than I think his best is, but he likes that track, so got to give it a try for the earnings down there, for the money down there. It's a little shorter than we want. He's doing well, but we're going to give him a shot down there, even though it's a sprint.
Well, Rusty, it's been a great summer, and it's turning into a good fall. Back-to-back stake wins at Kentucky Downs as Morticia and Totally Boss score, and a couple more runners yet to go Thursday before the Churchill action and then Keeneland. Continued success. Always a pleasure.
That took the sting out of losing Concrete Roads a little bit for a while. So
there you go.
Some of them jumped up and filled in the gaps till we get her back.
Well, not worried about you. You got those gaps filled and more.
All right, Steve. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Rusty Arnold, everybody, to close out a busy Monday. And the Keeneland sale is starting now. I want to thank Rusty and Wayne Catalano, Charlie Lopresti, Johnny D., Matt Hegarty, Nicole Russo, Deja on the board. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9. If you missed anything, and the archive and pod up when Joe and Casey did a nice benefit for Casey on Friday, which looked like it was an absolute wonderful, wonderful time for everybody that turned out down in South Florida. Have a great day, everybody. Good luck at Keeneland, and if you're playing, then we'll talk to you in the morning at the races.